Well, good morning.
Good morning.
I don't know what happened there, but good morning anyway. Thank you for joining us as we're about to share the Word of God, okay? Today we're going to bring a close to our study on Psalm 91. This is part 8 of a study that's named A Look at Psalm 91, and it's entitled God and His Goodness. Now, I'm going to warn you right now that this could be part A of the finale of Psalm 91. But anyway, it's entitled God and His Goodness, and I'm going to ask you to stand with me again, please, as we declare what we believe about the Word of God. You know, that's what we're doing when we do this. When we make this declaration, we're saying what we believe, what's in our heart about the Word of God, and the effect that it's going to have on us as we listen to it preached today. So are you with me?
Yes.
Amen. 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 All right. Are you ready? Hold your Bible up towards heaven, and let's say it. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I'll taught the Word of God. I'll boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, let's go. Yes, let's go. Amen. Amen. So, let's jump right into it this morning because we have a lot of ground to cover, and maybe not so much ground to cover. I may stop before we really come to the end of this. But God tells us in verse 13 of Psalm 91 that we will tread upon and advance beyond our enemies. So please turn with me to Psalm 91, verse 13. Wave at me when you're there. All right. Here we go. Your Bible ought to fall open to Psalm 91 by now. The Bible says this in verse 13. You, say me. Say I. All right. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. That's pretty amazing. I mean, that's some pretty good encouragement. And I was wondering, Gary, could you come up and pray for the message this morning?
I certainly don't want to be out of line, but I'm hoping that we're not going to bring any serpents or lions up here for the altar call today to test our faith. But it's good to know that we can. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for today, God. I pray that God, we will touch you today, Lord, as we take in your word. Father, I thank you that you'll make it real to us, God, that we will, Lord, take in the words, Lord, that we will accept the power that comes along with your word, Lord, and the confidence that it gives us. God, I thank you for Pastor Wes. I thank you, Lord, that your anointing rests upon him, God, in him, through him, and out of him to us today, God. God, let your power just be evident in this place. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Gary. We're in church, so we can pray a lot, right? You know? So would you just lower your head and just pray for a moment, because I'm feeling some unction of the Lord to go in a different direction, and I want to be sure it's the Lord. Thank you, Lord. This really does go along with the idea that you shall tread upon lions and cobras and the young lion and serpent. and you shall trample them underfoot. But Serena, when she came up here, said a few things that kind of sparked something within me. And that's just simply this. I have noticed that when you get saved, okay, you get really on fire, man. You hear these scriptures and you go, you mean I can do that? You mean that's me? You mean I have that promise and the Word of God is actually written for me? And you begin to realize that the Word of God is just that. It's written to you. And it's written to everybody personally. And I think one of the things that we just want to do is get to the other side. Amen? Come on, talk to me this morning. We want to get to the other side. We want to finish, and we want to finish well. Okay? You know, and I praise God, it doesn't matter how you start. Amen? It's how you finish the race. Amen. But she said this, and the Bible says this, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. And then it gives us the answer. I mean, none of us, like Gary said, none of us really want to step on lions and cobras, all right? None of us really want to go through the spiritual battles that we have to go through. But we're really aware and really awake to those spiritual battles when we first get saved, because it's so fresh in our minds what we just came out of. But then we go on after a little while and we get kind of religious. We get kind of religious. We go to church and we start listening to what everybody has to say. And we don't really retain that on fire attitude, if you will, of actively doing what it says in the Word of God. I mean, everybody else is just going to church, right? And they don't seem to be going through this stuff, or maybe they are a little bit, but they don't really pick up their Bible and say, hey, I should put on the helmet of salvation, you know, and I should do this. But you know, if they want to win, they do. Oh, come on, you didn't hear me. If they want to get to the other side, they do that. You know, if one thing has really ministered to me out of this study in Psalm 91, it's this: I will say to the Lord. Glory to God. I will say to the Lord. I have always, like, in the mornings when I'm here alone, read the Psalms to the Lord and thought that was a good idea. Understood that it was a good idea to put the Lord in remembrance of his promises, even though he doesn't forget. But it just became real. You know, it became real that I can say to the Lord, you are my refuge, you are my strength. And really, the motivation for any of this is just the same. I just want to get to the other side. Amen. I just want to get through this thing and get through it well. Okay? Bring some people with me. But so many times, whether it's out of apathy, whether it's out of laziness, yeah, we get lazy, or whatever it might be from, we just don't do the things we know we should do. I don't always put on the helmet of salvation. I mean, I don't always. I wish I could say that every morning I say Psalm 91, but I don't. But you should. Okay? It's just a fact that, again, as Serena said, we are in a spiritual battle. And we are more so in a spiritual battle since we've become the children of God. Because you know who don't like you? The devil don't like you, and most people don't like you either. Why don't they like you? Because you show them their mistake, their error, their wrongness in not making Jesus the Lord of their life. The thing is, they know they should, and maybe they will when they get old. But you know what? If you wait until you get old, you get more set in your ways, and you probably won't anyway. But God tells us, just this, and I'll read it to you, verse 13 of Ephesians 6. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. Why? Why do you do that? Why do you put on the helmet of salvation? You know, why do you wear the breastplate of righteousness? Why do you gird your loins with truth? So that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. What's today? The evil day. It's the evil day. And then it says, and having done all to stand, just stand. What does that mean? You believe it, then believe it. Okay, do you believe it, then do it. And don't tell me you believe it if you won't do it. Because if it is important, you will do it. Amen. And I don't know about you this morning, but is more and more clear and real to me that today is the evil day and that we have to stand and that we fight the spiritual battle. How many times do you think you have thought that the battle that you're fighting between your mother-in-law and you is a fleshly battle? It might not be. It might be a spiritual battle. In fact, it probably is a spiritual battle because the enemy will do anything he can to disrupt relationships. Why? Because your relationships with other people echo your relationship or what your relationship with God should be like. My marriage with Serena, okay, is an example of his marriage with us. And that's why the devil attacks marriages so much. That's why divorce is so rampant in the church today. Because he's going to take the example that God has given and tear it apart and say, that's not true. Has the devil ever said to you, no, come on, has he ever said, no, that part isn't true. Come on. That part doesn't really apply to today. And I admit, okay, you know, moral issues remain, okay? But things like, don't let your hair touch your collar. I don't think Jesus did that. The religious things that we go through, boy, you better wear a suit to church. I'm in major trouble. You should see the undershirt I got. No, not really. But those religious things that we do, there's nothing wrong with getting dressed up to go to church. Sometimes that's kind of fun, you know. Every 2-3 years I do it, you know. Listen, I really got full of wearing ties. And I remember the first day that I didn't wear that stuff and I came up here and I couldn't just do it, you know. I had a shirt untucked with a T-shirt on, with a shirt partially unbuttoned, you know. Like, hey. You know, and I think I said something like, well, my wife said I should dress like this. Blamed it on Serena. Just the mature thing to do. But those religious things that we get so driven into our minds that are really not important, because God's not looking at your outside anyway. He's looking at your heart. And so the question for you this morning that I would have, and the question for me, is what is your heart saying? You know, what is your heart saying? Are you with your lips saying, yes, I love the Word of God, the Word of God is this, the Word of God is that, you know? But what's your heart saying? Is your heart saying, I'll just quote that scripture that I'm just going to believe it, you know? God says this, so I believe it. Does it say that, or does it say, see, I got to work this thing through. You know, I got to think about this thing. And you know what? Your life travels where your thoughts go. That's spiritual and not spiritual, okay? Whatever you think about is where your life is going to go. All right? Do you get what I mean? You know what I'm talking about? And I can only exemplify that with this, okay? I'm the healed of the Lord. Amen? But I've got issues. But I'm the healed of the Lord. But I've gotten some bad news sometimes. But I'm the healed of the Lord. But I've got to think through that. But I don't know what. But what is your heart saying? My heart's saying, I don't care what. I believe what the Word of God says. I mean, I don't care what. I don't care if you tell me. I don't care if 15 doctors tell me something. I still believe what the Word of God says. Because I just happen to think that I can't go wrong believing the Word of God. And I've known too many people that have gone wrong believing man. Are you with me? But what is your heart saying this morning? You know, is your heart saying, you know, I love the Word of God so much that I'm going to put it in my heart? And I love to quote the Word, but I love it when Serena quotes the Word and it just flows and it's just, you know, that shows her love for the Word of God. And I pray protection on her and all that for all of that, but that shows that there's a love for the Word of God there. And you can say, well, I can't memorize. Yes, you can. No, I can't memorize. Well, you said that twice, so. You can memorize, right? I never realized growing up, although the first time I felt called into the ministry, I was 10 years old. And I remember walking up to Mom. I've said this story before. I was reading the Bible. And I don't think I understood a whole lot of what I was reading. It was King James, and I wasn't. And I walked up to her and said, "Hey, Mom, I wouldn't mind being a minister." She laughed, I laughed. That was the end of it. Then I remember there was another time when I was about 20 years old, when I was laid off from work, couldn't get a job. That was in that period of time, a long time ago, you know, when those, like, in 76 and, you know, back in those ancient days. And I couldn't get a job. I just could not get one. And I felt drawn once again, you know, to the Word of God. And once I got into the Word of God, I felt called again into the ministry. I want you to know something. If you wonder what your destiny is in the Lord, start reading your Bible, okay? Start reading your Bible. But anyway, I answered that call like 8 years later, began to answer that call. It took a while to get all the courses and the different things in. But what I really want to ask you this morning, I mean, that's, and I want to say this, that doesn't mean I'm this great person, that just means I answered, okay? And that's what you have to do this morning. You have to answer whatever it is that God is asking for you to do. In wanting to get to the other side, we end up leaving behind all those things that we know to be true, and we begin to live on this thing called experience. You know, I've been saved, what? I got to ask her every time. 40? 40 years? 40 years. Some of you aren't even 40 years old. I used to be that. But I've been saved 40 years. And still, I fight this thing called the flesh. That if I even feed it a little bit, it will take over my life. And it'll take the spiritual aspect of my life and set it behind. But what your heart has to say is no. No, I'm not going to let this happen because I want to finish well. And the only way I can finish well is now to begin to make my life line up with this word that God has written to me, this love letter that God has given me, this instruction manual that God has given me. And I don't care if you read NIV, NLT, NASB, NASBU, King James, New King James. I don't care. In fact, I love the NLT. Yeah, I know. Now you think I'm really unspiritual, don't you? That I would love the New Living Translation, but it is awesome. And I don't care what Bible you read. If you put your head in that Bible, God will not allow you, the Holy Spirit will not allow you to be led astray. Well, the NIV doesn't say this, but it does say a lot of other things. And what you're missing in one spot is actually said many times in another spot. And I just felt impressed today that you know, I don't know if it's one person or many people that are getting weary and actually has forgotten. And I know I've preached a lot about remembering because I think remembering is one of the most important things that you can do. And it's kind of a trick. You have to remember, but you can't get stuck in the past. When you figure out how to do that, let me know. But I don't know if it's just the times we're living in and how hard we really have to fight and how much focus we have to keep on the fact that we're fighting a spiritual battle. You know, our government, the stuff that's going on right now, those are spiritual things. They are. They're spiritual things that are being fought. And I would encourage you just to pray for our government, whether you agree or don't agree, just pray for them. Because that's what the Bible tells us to do. And pray for Israel. I know most of us would rather pray for ourselves. You ever do that? You go into prayer and you think, you know, I'm going to pray for all these people. And next thing you know, you're going, and Lord, you know, I really wish you'd help me with this. And, you know, I didn't mean to do this. I mean, could you help me do this? Then you go, oh, that's right. I pray for Serena. I pray that she would be happy. I want to be happy, Lord. You know, it'd be nice if I was happy. Or what a preacher gets to do is you get to start praying, and next thing you know, you end up preaching. I don't know who to, but you're preaching, walking up here, going, and the thing, the word of the Lord is this, and it's like, yeah, sorry about that. All I'm trying to say to you this morning is we are fighting spiritual battles, whether you think they are or not. We're fighting spiritual battles. Don't get weary in your well-doing, because those who endure to the end, well, they're going to finish well, okay? They're going to finish well. Take the Word of God and don't treat it as just another book, or don't just treat it as something that you should look at on a Sunday morning when the pastor says, turn to this, and if by any chance they forgot to put it on the screen, you'd have to open it up. God forbid. But take your Word of God and throw yourself into it and throw it into you, okay? And take it and devour it and understand that it's written to you. I mean, who would have imagined all, and you haven't heard the half of it yet, okay? All the promises that are within one psalm that show God's great love for you and I, his protection, his provision. It's unreal. It's past anything we can really imagine. But in the same token, it's nothing for God, because his agape love is that great. The agape love that we like to talk about, we know what it is and we don't have any idea what it is. We can study it, we can focus on it, we can tear the Greek and the Hebrew apart, we can do everything, tear the English apart. But you know what? You and I still can't get past the idea that we got to love a person no matter what. No matter what they do to us, we have to, and you know, this is a big word, we have to choose to love those people. You know, I think of the Christian families that are left of those people that were beheaded. Good Lord, they have to pray for the people that have beheaded them. They don't have a choice, you know, Christian-wise. They can't suddenly say, oh, I hope they die and go to hell. They have to pray for them. Because we have a promise that if we pray for those that despitefully use us, that God will heap coals of fire. We can't do that, but God will do that for us. The vindication that we walk in is amazing as long as we let God do it. I just encourage you this morning, if there was a day when God said to you every morning or quite often, or when put on the armor of God, just read through it in my word and then just go about your day. That if he ever asked you to do that, start doing it again. Because I don't think he ever told you to quit doing it. If there was ever a day when God seemed to say, get into my word more, you know, start, study this book, do it. Because I can't imagine God ever saying, don't do it. Okay, stop. You got enough. You had it. You know it. You knew. Yeah, you know as much as I do. So we put on the armor of God, but we recognize that we battle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of darkness of this age and spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. That's really kind of scary. That's even scarier than stepping on lions and cobras. Spiritual wickedness in heavenly places? Ooh. Man. Hollywood doesn't even touch how evil that is. And I can't stand to watch the little blips on Instagram. Okay? Come on, you do it too. Now, come on. I think we would all, I know we would all do good to remember, okay, that God has given us this arsenal of artillery, if you will, to fight against the enemy. And we too often leave that artillery sit. And we don't do anything about it, or maybe we complain about it. But when it boils right down to it, we don't do anything about it. And let's say we are doing something about it, but we aren't getting results, but we don't go to other people in the body of Christ and ask them to help us. Where two or more are gathered, I am in the midst of them. That's a promise. So if you get together, if you're praying for something and it's just not happening, man, get together with a brother or a sister, because that's what it says in the Bible, and pray. Get together with four or five. Get 10 of them and come to church. Hey. and pray with them, because there's just this idea of faith. If I can do it this way, you've got this much faith. Me and Serena have this much faith. Me and Serena and Josh have this much faith. And it goes on and on and on and on. And when I get in a room that's that filled with faith, something's going to happen. Amen. So, it's just true. We just want to get to the other side. We don't want to die, but we just want to get to the other side and get through it with the least amount of damage that we can, right? Bringing as many people with us as we can, in Jeeps with us that we can. You probably can't take any of those with us. But what's important? That's what you have to discern, all right? What's important in your life? And then you have to set the importance in your life. Are the Jeeps and the things on this earth so important? Are the motorcycles and the airplanes and the, you know, I don't know, fashion, is it that important? Or is God important? Or is it important that you put his word in your heart? I dare say the answer is the latter, you know, that you put God's word in your heart. I'm sure that each one of us here are going through something, whether it's a physical battle, financial battle, relational battle. Do you have a scripture that you're standing on and that you're repeating over and over to see that situation better, come to fruit? You know, are you taking the word of God and applying it? And I'm just saying that as a way as you should have. Well, I don't know where to look. What I do. But see, that's the cool thing about, or the nice thing, the great thing about reading the Bible is God, the Holy Spirit, has this ability to bring back to remembrance that what you have read. Okay? If you're not reading, the Holy Spirit can't bring back to remembrance something that was never put in your head. I've had the most obscure scriptures come to my mind to pray for a situation. And I'll look for them and I'll find them and it's like, wow. You know. But that's the Holy Spirit reminding me of what I read. Because I don't remember everything I read. In fact, they say you only remember 10% of what you read. And I'm not sure. I'm sure that doesn't mean I can read this 10 times and have 100% of it down. I know it doesn't mean that. And I just want to encourage you this morning. You know, we fight, we battle, we go through things. We've been given the things that we need to get through those things. God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, his word, the armor of God, the promises of God. It would be only wise to use those things. It would be only wise, and please take me seriously this morning. Take me seriously when I say it is of the utmost importance that you know what this says. And if you say, well, man, I've been saved 20 years. I don't know what it says. Keep reading. Because the Holy Spirit can bring back to remembrance, not only to certain people, but to you too, what you've read. If it's not been a priority in your life to get a chapter in or three in or whatever, if you read three, of course, in a day for a year, you'll read through the whole Bible, because that's real important, you know. And I laugh at that, because some people make that as such a goal, and then they don't retain anything they read, you know. What would it be like if you read one book all year long, just over and over and over and over? One book of the Bible. Can you imagine the wisdom that you would come away with? Just read Philippians over and over and over and over. I mean, read it so much that you can almost read it without looking at it, you know. You're just kind of skimming and you're reading the words, you know. Just get it that much down in your heart and in your mind. Imagine what that would do for you. The Word of God, I've said 1,000 times, has been the thing that has gotten me through 40 years. To think, you know, that God would put a love in my heart for the Word. I didn't do that. But it's been the single most important, of the utmost importance, spiritual thing that you can do is get this in your heart. So in the evil day, today, right? We're in the evil day. You know that. And you might say, well, they thought they were in the evil day back then. Well, they probably were, okay? But we're in the evil day. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with what? Truth. What is truth? Okay, what is truth? Are you with me? And I have no idea how long I preached. I just know I didn't get to preach this message that I really wanted to preach. But my hope is that at least somebody, and my real hope is that everybody, would understand and get to know how important it is to know the Word. Because if you know the Word, you know the writer of the Word. Come on. If you say, I got to get to know Jesus, I don't know him, you know, like the way I should, then you read the Word, because the Word is Jesus. All you have to do is read John chapter 1 to get that. So this morning, if you were expecting to hear Psalm 91, sorry, I was expecting to hear Psalm 91. I came in here at 4 o'clock this morning to try to put the finishing touches on this, got it right where I wanted it, and then I didn't get to preach it. But that's okay, because if it moves anybody, it's important. But just take and ponder, and that's one of the best words that we have as Christians, ponder. Ponder what was said this morning. Ponder putting the Word in your heart. Ponder what it would be like if you really knew the promises of God. And maybe you do. Maybe you know him better than Serena and better than me. And, you know, if that's so, great. But if you can't really step into that group of people and say, hey, I know, you know, I wish you'd take a step into the group of people that say, hey, I will find out. Okay? So we're going to get to the other side by knowing and understanding this. Amen. By applying what this says to our life and not becoming religious over some things that really don't matter, but letting your heart speak the things that it should. Okay? Okay. Let's pray just now.